May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Brothers and sisters, the title of this message is A Whole New World. It's from our second lesson from Acts chapter 2. A few years ago, the Disney film Aladdin produced a beautiful song titled A Whole New World. It's a beautiful thought, isn't it? A whole new world, a chance to start over, to right all previous wrongs, to avoid the mistakes of the past, a new beginning. And that's exactly what the prophet Joel saw in our text from Acts. A whole new world. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, said God, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. A prophecy fulfilled at Pentecost, the event described by our text. Now, originally, Pentecost was a harvest festival marking the early wheat harvest. We're reminded of our Lord's words, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Pray therefore to the Lord of the harvest that he will send out workers into his harvest fields. How appropriate for this festival that celebrates the giving of the Holy Spirit to all believers that they might carry out the Great Commission to make disciples of all nations. And since it was a festival celebrating that early wheat harvest, one of the traditions at the Jewish Pentecost was to take some of that wheat from the new harvest and bake bread that very day. Two of those loaves were presented as an offering at the temple. The rest was served at the family table. I can imagine Jerusalem with tens of thousands of households filled with the delicious aroma of baking bread wafting up and down the avenues. And so we are called to bear Jesus, the bread of life, to a whole world that is hungering for good news. The Holy Spirit equips us to enter into that mission in his word and sacraments. Evangelism has sometimes been called one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. Today our Lord offers himself to us in the bread of his body and the wine of his blood at the table that he has set just for us, that we might receive forgiveness and spiritual nourishment that we need to live the Christ life by the power of the Spirit in a world gone wrong. This present world is a study in contrast. Joel knew that when he wrote about the last days in his prophecy. The hallways of our schools, meant to be places of learning, all too often echo with gunshots. The beauty of a majestic forest, marred by a polluted stream filled with fish that we're warned not to eat. The new normal, we might call it. Pain and heartache all around while we sit staring at our TVs, our computer screens, our iPads. Oblivious and numb to the needs of those around us. And none of this should surprise us. In Romans 8, the Apostle Paul observes, the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. It's as if some terrible horror movie began to play at the very moment that Adam and Eve fell into sin in the garden. And it may seem to us at times that God is just up there sitting in heaven watching the whole thing play out on his TV screen, indifferent to our suffering. Of course, we know that's not the case. God is not indifferent. He cares. He hears our cries for help. A woman lay dying in the hospital. Her body was ravaged by years of drug abuse. During a visit by the chaplain, she poured out her soul. She said, I've ruined my life and the lives of all those around me. Now all I can look forward to is an eternity in hell. The chaplain noticed a picture of a pretty young girl on the nightstand next to her bed. Who is this? The chaplain asked. It's my daughter, she replied. She's the one beautiful thing in my life. And the chaplain said, and would you help her if she were in trouble or made a mistake? Would you forgive her? Of course I would, she said. Why would you ask such a question? Because I want you to know that God has a picture of you on his dresser. God sent his Son into this fallen world to make all things new, to give each of us a whole new world, to put our picture on our Father's dresser. As the Holy Spirit filled the hearts of those early believers on Pentecost, so the Spirit dwells in our hearts as well. God is rebuilding his kingdom one heart at a time. A whole new world, a world with power. At our Lord's ascension, we read his promise in Luke 24. Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending you the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Power. It's our old Greek word friend, dunamis, from which we get the term dynamite. We've talked about that before. Dynamite is certainly powerful. You will receive dynamite power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. For what purpose? To be witnesses, starting Jerusalem and fanning out all over the world to the very end of the earth. And so our text. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what appeared to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit entered them. Spirit. It's the term ruach in Hebrew and pneuma in the Greek. Both terms mean wind or breath or blowing. Pneuma is the term that we take right into the English to describe tools that are powered by air. Pneumatic hammers, pneumatic drills driven by air, pneuma. And we read in our text, this is no gentle breeze, but it's a violent wind blowing out the dust of sin from our hearts and lives. A wind, a power to energize us as witnesses in this world with a marvelous message. The good news of salvation, the forgiveness of sins through faith alone in Jesus Christ. And note that in our text, the disciples were given the power to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Tongues, languages. And then there comes a long list of Jews who had come to Jerusalem from all over the world for Pentecost. Parthians and Medes and Elamites, all the way from Egypt and Rome. And as the disciples spoke, they heard the message in their own native languages. And the message, the wonders of God. Some are filled with awe and amazement as they hear the message. But others sneered and said, oh, they're drunk on new wine. That's always the case with the gospel, isn't it? Some believe, others do not. In the verses following our text, Peter steps forward to speak. He tells about the Savior sent into this fallen world to save all people from their sins by his death on the cross. Then he proclaims, God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact, exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. In our text, after hearing the wonders of God in their own languages, the crowd asks that most Lutheran of questions, what does this mean? Now flash forward to verse 37. Following Peter's sermon, the crowd has another question. What shall we do? Pastor was greeting his folk at the end of the church service at the door, as we do here, and one of the parishioners came through and he said, "Great sermon, Pastor." I hear that all the time, incidentally. "Great sermon, Pastor." And the pastor said, "We'll see." What shall we do? Peter answers, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And in the original, the word repent means literally to change one's mind, to do a 180-degree turn away from sin and into the arms of Jesus Christ. The citizens of Goshen, Indiana, were shocked to hear and learn that Tracy Bailey, captain of the high school football team, member of the student council, a good student, and a member of a church-going family, had been involved with a gang that destroyed, utterly destroyed, the interior of a school building. Tracy was sentenced to 5 years of detention in a juvenile facility. This was no country club. He was surrounded by thieves and murderers, robbers, drug dealers. But things went downhill from there for Tracy. He broke the rules and he ended up in solitary confinement. In depression and despair, he began to read an old dog-eared Bible that another inmate had given him. That's when the Holy Spirit invaded the deep, dark time in his life, just as the Spirit invades the deep and dark times in our lives. Tracy prayed. He began to attend chapel and Bible studies. He believed and repented. And once out, he determined that he would help other young people. And so he went to college. He studied math and science. He earned his degree in teaching. He worked hard and paid his share of the damage to the school. Then in April of 1993, Tracy Bailey attended a special ceremony at the White House where the president awarded him the high honor of Teacher of the Year. I love to read stories like that. That's a picture of repentance, turning away from sin, turning toward Christ for forgiveness, and determining to live one's life for God and each other. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you," Peter said. In baptism, it all begins anew. In baptism, there is forgiveness. In baptism, there is the promise of the Holy Spirit. In baptism is the power to live the new life. In baptism is a whole new world. What does this mean? What shall we do? Another story about fragrance. There's one of those, on a postcard, there's one of those old, perfect little villages in France, you know, the narrow streets and the picturesque buildings. And above town, there's a factory that manufactures just one thing, and that's lavender perfume. Most of the villagers work at the factory, and at the end of the day, the big whistle blows, and the villagers make their way home up and down the narrow streets of the village. And as they do, the aroma of lavender follows them until the whole town is filled with that delicious fragrance. That's you and me. That's risen Savior. This is our factory. And as we make our way home to work and school and shopping and whatever tomorrow, you fill in the blank, by the power of the Holy Spirit, may the delicious fragrance of the gospel follow us wherever we go. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's rise.